away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Impeach 45! Impeach 45!
So crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
Just when you think you are all stocked up, more crazy happens. Well, good morning and welcome into this edition of The Daily Perspective. It's good to have you along. Mark Congleton here. Excuse me. Wow, man. I don't know what it is that's going around, but whatever it is that's going around grabbed me by the knees and threw me to the floor yesterday. So I apologize. I'm a little bit scratchy today, and it actually just hit me because all I've done as far as conversation so far this morning is the occasional, yeah, I got that. Yeah, sure. Oh, good morning. And that's about it. And now I'm actually really talking to you. Now I can tell. Ah. But anyway, hey, thanks for being there. Thanks for being part of the fun each and every morning as this show progresses. I appreciate the fact that you make it part of your day. And however that may be happening, I appreciate it. Whether you're joining us this morning with the crowd that's growing on Facebook Live, or you're downloading the podcast and listening at your leisure, maybe on your walk to work, maybe on your drive to someplace, I really appreciate it. Thank you very much. It is a Tuesday edition of the Daily Perspective, and there is I have a very large stack again today, and I won't get to most of it. I'm looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'm looking at about half a dozen stories, and there may be even more than that that I may not get to, and then who knows what else will pop up. But hopefully we'll get to the Trump derangement syndrome that's not directed at Donald Trump. It's directed at Melania Trump now. It's interesting that when she was in the background and nobody paid, you didn't know what she was doing. Nobody said anything negative about her, really, except possibly that she was digging a tunnel to get out of the White House. But now, wow. Just wow. The hatred rising from the left for Melania Trump is astounding. The toy company Mattel is up to something really strange. They're meeting with somebody about something, which I guess you just have to shake your head and say, yeah, should have seen that coming. Well, hopefully we'll look at that. Donald Trump has finally offended a group of people that honestly, we may have to have a good laugh about. Baby, It's Cold Outside is back in the news again. It won't go away. Nancy Pelosi. God love her. Bless her heart, Nancy Pelosi.
But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
She's on her broom again, and we'll find out what she's up to. And starting things off, this is big. This is actually very, very big. But odds are you won't hear about it unless you're paying attention to people like me and others in the conservative media who are passing this information along. The name Christopher Steele probably rings a bell for you, since you're somebody who pays attention to the news. And you know that he's the former British spy who prepared the Russia dossier. Yeah, that Russia dossier. The one that's led to more than 2 years of investigations into President Donald Trump's campaign. Well, Christopher Steele has told a London court he was hired to provide a basis to challenge the legitimacy of the 2016 presidential election in the event that Hillary Clinton lost. He said the law firm Perkins Coie wanted to be in a position to contest the results based on evidence he unearthed on the Trump campaign conspiring with Moscow on election interference. His scenario is contained in a sealed August 2nd declaration in a defamation lawsuit brought by three Russian bankers in London. The trio's American attorneys filed his answers in a libel lawsuit in Washington against the investigative firm Fusion GPS, which handled the former British intelligence officer. In an answer to interrogatories, Mr. Steele wrote this, quote, Fusion's immediate client was law firm Perkins Coie. It engaged Fusion to obtain information necessary for Perkins Coie to provide legal advice on the potential impact of Russian involvement on the legal validity of the outcome of the 2016 U.S. presidential election. Based on that advice, parties such as the Democratic National Committee and HFACC Inc., which is also known as Hillary for America, could consider steps they would be legally entitled to take to challenge the validity of the outcome of that election. Steele's dossier was used by the FBI to obtain a Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, a FISA Act warrant, to spy on several Trump associates. The FBI never told the FISA court explicitly that the Democratic National Committee or the Hillary Clinton campaign had paid for the dossier, though it did indicate that the document had been compiled as opposition research. The dossier and rumors of its contents circulated widely through elite beltway circles both before and during the election. The document, whose main claims have never been corroborated. You have to remember this. The claims in the dossier have never been substantiated. They've never been proven. The document is directly responsible for claims about Russian interference in the election, which Hillary Clinton, the Democratic Party, and the media have used to cast doubt on the 2016 election, just as Steele's employers allegedly wanted. In the last months of the election, Trump hinted he might not accept rigged results. Do you remember that? A suggestion that earned him the ire of the Clinton campaign, which expected to win. Then President Barack Obama said this, quote, I've never seen in my lifetime or in modern political history any presidential candidate trying to discredit the elections and the election process before votes have even taken place. Hillary Clinton and the DNC were allegedly doing exactly that. So, Michael Steele, or Christopher Steele, he's the former British spy. He's the guy who prepared the Russia dossier, has admitted in court in London that he was paid to do so by the Democrat Party and the Clinton campaign. So the people who are behind the entire Russiagate thing are the Democrats and Hillary Clinton. They're the ones behind all of these allegations. They're the ones who paid the person to assemble this information. Now, if you would like to do a little homework today, you can do some digging on the dossier itself and on the claims made in it. And you will find that time and time again, they're unsubstantiated, they're uncorroborated, and in very many cases, they have been flatly denied and debunked. So, essentially, what Christopher Steele did was he put together a work of fiction, the intent of which was to discredit Donald Trump during the election process in order to prevent him from being elected. And if he were elected, and I say that because even though it intends, the intent was to challenge the legal validity of the outcome of the election. We also know that people in the elite circles in D.C. knew the contents of this dossier, and they were chattering about it before the election. And that itself is intentional. Just judging by what has happened in political circles before, that's easy to ascertain. It was intentional. They wanted these rumors to get out there to damage Trump's chances at the polling places on election day. They wanted people to have doubts. They wanted people to question. And you saw it happen, didn't you? You saw this happening. I know I did. I know my wife did. I know friends did. We watched it happening. Our friends, our liberal friends, were saying, well, how can you vote for a guy that did this? And the this is something that came right out of the Steele dossier. The claims that he did certain things, for example, with prostitutes in a hotel room in Moscow, the golden showers thing, the various and sundry accusations made by the dossier were leaked to damage him and to damage his chances. And they believed wholeheartedly that they were being successful. They believed completely, totally, and had convinced their partners in the progressive press, the left-wing news media, all of those pundits, all of those commentators that sat there on election night talking about this 98% chance of Hillary Clinton becoming the next president of the United States and actually having a celebratory attitude in the earlier part of the evening until it became obvious that things were not working out the way they assumed they would. They were all convinced that all of this damaging talk, all of this nastiness that had been unearthed and rumored about Donald Trump was going to prevent him from becoming president. They were just dead certain. Just absolutely certain. And I can't help but wonder how many of them lost a lot of money, because they were probably betting on it as well. So Clinton, the Hillary for President campaign, and the Democrat Party funded a work of fiction intended to damage Donald Trump. And gullible, willfully gullible people in this country and beyond believed it all. Because, like I've said before, it reinforced what they have bought into. They believed the lies because the lies reinforced what they chose to believe about the world around them, about our country, about the direction it should take. They have believed the warm and fuzzy, touchy-feely rainbows and unicorns promises made by the progressives. And they ignore the cold, hard fact that every time what the progressives have been pitching has been tried anywhere in the world, the end result has been failure, suffering, poverty, starvation, and sometimes the murder of millions. They decide they want this warm, fuzzy science fiction future, this reality that cannot be because human nature itself will not allow it to happen. But they so desperately want it to be true that they'll believe anyone who tells them they're going to make it happen for them. So the Clinton campaign and the Democrats paid lots of money for a former British spy to prepare a dossier which has led to more than 2 years of investigations and trash talk about the man who is now the president of the United States. They paid a lot of money for a bundle of lies that certain people were willing to believe because it suited their fantasy to do so. And when it didn't work, they were devastated. And in true progressive form, rather than taking a step back and re-examining the situation, assessing what they did wrong and correcting themselves, they doubled down. They doubled down in their pursuit, which is why they're working so hard now to condemn, convict, and legally wrangle everybody around the president to condemn his image in the public eye. More when the Daily Perspective continues.
It's the best time of the year.
We're just a week away now.
I don't know if there'll be snow.
Yeah, we're a week away from Christmas Day. Hey, just a heads up. The podcast is going to take a Christmas break.
Say hello.
I know that the last thing that's going to be on your mind in that week between Christmas and New Year's is making sure you catch this daily dose of lunacy. So, sleep late, do whatever you want to do, because next week, between Christmas and New Year's, that's what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be spending time with family, doing Christmassy stuff, and I encourage you to do the same thing. And we'll get back together again on January 2nd of 2019. The first show will be the day after New Year's, so make sure you join me back in here on Facebook Live and check your podcast feed, and the new podcast will come back in to your inbox on January 2nd. Unless I get a crazy urge and do something different. But the last show for this year will be this coming Friday, just as a heads up, so you aren't surprised when you checked on Christmas Eve to see if I'm here. I won't be. Trust me. I won't be here. And you shouldn't be either. Just go spend some time with your family. All right? Okay. Let's see. The lunacy of the left never ceases to amaze. And the fact that Nancy Pelosi is going to be Speaker of the House again is just one more example of that, of how amazing the lunacy is. And now, Nancy Pelosi has steadfastly chosen to ignore reality. We know from surveys of the American people what's important to the American people right now. But the Democrats, the progressives, and the news media understand the value of sensationalism. And they understand that violence gets people's attention, that violence enables them to manipulate people emotionally, and that violence causes people, acts of violence, I should say, cause people to ignore the finer details and to make sweeping judgments about things while they're emotionally motivated. And that's why you see them championing gun control. They talk about common sense gun safety. Common sense. They use that phrase, common sense. And they talk about gun safety. I'm looking here to see if it's in the stack. No, it's not in the stack, but there is a story that I really should have pulled up about the people who used to be Moms Demand Action. Now it's Every Town for Gun Safety, funded by Michael Bloomberg, which is nothing but an anti-gun group, which uses, I'm just going to say it, it uses women to motivate other women emotionally about guns and violence committed with guns, and to advocate for changes which will not make a difference in the world. And I'll get into why that is in just a minute or so. But in one of their gun safety presentations, a person who was supposed to be demonstrating how to properly handle a firearm was gripping it by its barrel. It was a pistol, and they actually gripped it by the barrel, holding it out by the end, instead of handling it safely and properly. I mean, there's some basic, just some very basic guidelines that you have to learn if you're going to possess a firearm. And learning how to hold a firearm is actually kind of step one. You have to acknowledge the fact that you will not point it at anything you're not willing to destroy. You have to be careful about what's behind, you know, what's in the range that you're pointing at. You have to be careful of certain things. You have to be of the frame of mind that if you hold it, and you, if you pull it, you pull it out and make it public that you have it, you had better be, you damn well better be willing to pull the trigger and to stop something from happening. That's the whole thing. It's a big decision. But when you flippantly carry or hold a weapon improperly, when you're supposedly instructing people in the proper handling of a firearm, it just goes to show that you are clueless and you don't know what you're doing. And that's something that Michael Bloomberg's group, Every Town for Gun Safety, has done. Well, the American people are not all that concerned about gun safety, about that sort of a thing. They really aren't. They're more concerned about the fact that we've got illegals flooding across our border and that politicians are just giggling secretly about that because it means voters for them. That's one of the things they're more concerned about. Well, Democrats will be acting boldly to bring common sense gun control reforms to the table. That's what Nancy Pelosi has said in a statement. Quote, "The new Democratic majority will act boldly and decisively to pass common sense, life-saving background checks that are overwhelmingly supported by the American people." That's what she said, according to Politico. You know, we already have a background check system. You cannot buy a firearm from a licensed firearms dealer without going through a background check. I know that I've had this happen to me several times. I've sat down and filled out the paperwork. I have, even though I know I am squeaky clean, I have stood there with my gut clenched up while the guy's on the phone with the FBI running through the process. Everybody who buys from a licensed gun seller has to go through the background check. With Pelosi's support, Democrats coalesced to create a gun reform proposal that would require federal background checks on all gun sales, including private sales. Democratic California Representative Mike Thompson, a Pelosi ally who says a bill for universal background checks will be introduced to Congress in early 2019, is spearheading the measure. Quote, "The American people want this. They're way ahead of the Congress. They're way ahead of the White House," he said. "I think you'll see it happen in the first 100 days of 2019. Even though it's not really, he's lying, it's not that important to the American people. Because most people have common sense. And they realize that the people who are committing gun crimes and gun violence didn't purchase their weapons legally. And even if you require a background check from your neighbor Sam to buy his shotgun that he doesn't ever use anymore, the people who are committing this gun violence aren't buying their guns from their neighbor Sam. They're buying them from other people who have used them to commit gun crimes." Well, Democratic New York Representative Gerald Nadler, you remember him, he's the cartoon character who just last week declared that the American people weren't concerned about the... He said that liberal bias, leftist bias in... on Google, Facebook, Twitter, and the like, were non-existent. He's that guy. He's the incoming chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. He also promised to act very quickly to push the measure onto the House floor, saying, "We told the American voters that we mean to do this, and we mean to do it." Now, the bill will have bipartisan support, according to Thompson, who refused to name GOP members who were set to sign it. Of course he won't. He's not going to name those people, because if he names those people, their constituents will tell them what they really think, and then they will have to say, no, we're not going to vote for that. So of course he's not going to name those people. He's going to have these GOP members who are progressives, who are really liberals. They're Republicans in name only. They're rhinos. These guys will vote unless they have to vote on the record or they have to tell their people beforehand, because they know their people will call them down for it. Peter King from New York, he's a Republican. Well, he said he'll support it. Yeah, of course he would. Roughly 60% of Americans want stricter gun laws, according to an October Gallup poll. The U.S. saw a number of mass shootings in 2018. We're aware of them. They killed scores of people. At the Borderline Bar and Grill in Thousand Oaks, California, Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Texas, the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh, Santa Fe High School in Texas. By the way, those all have certain things in common. All of those shootings do. The mass shootings in 2017, including the massacres at First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs, Texas, which was stopped by an NRA member with an AR-15, and Mandalay Bay Hotel in Las Vegas, which they won't tell us anything about, by the way. They won't tell us why. They said they can't figure out a motive. I firmly believe they're lying to us. I think they know exactly why. Because that kind of a thing, people talk. People know things. People say things. There's got to be knowledge of why. They're just not telling us. And that's not paranoia. That's just knowing how these idiots work. Those incidents also afflicted hundreds of victims and their families. GOP North Carolina Representative Richard Hudson calls this universal background check a red herring. He notes, quote, there's not a single commercial gun transaction in America that doesn't have a background check. The NRA opposes expanding firearm background check systems. And they say, well, they're evil for doing so. You know why? Because background checks don't stop criminals from getting firearms. That's not just according to their website. That's according to every study that's ever been made that's honest. Gun control groups are behind it. They love the idea. But the thing is that criminals, the people who are committing this violence, aren't buying their guns the way these laws will affect them. It won't make one bit of difference. None. The only people it will affect are law-abiding citizens who already obey the laws. And as usual, the people who aren't committing the crimes are the people who are being punished by politicians. That's the sad truth. Hey, baby, it's cold outside. That's up next on The Daily Perspective.
I really can't
but
stay.
But baby, it's cold outside.
I've gotta go away.
Baby, it's cold outside.
Gotta do a little tweaking here.
Hoping that you drop
yeah.
in.
So very nice.
I'll hold your
well,
hands.
Well, all of this huff, this huff, this craziness over this song is just nuts. It's just crazy, and you know that. But the thing is that, for some reason, those who are perpetually offended by everything in the world, they've got to find some reason to be upset about something so they can virtue signal. Well, they have decided this song is horrible. You know what the result has been? That sales of this song have skyrocketed. This song is making a lot of money. Whether it doesn't matter where you buy it from, whether it's the iTunes Music Store, Google Play, it doesn't matter where you buy it from. People are buying this song and they're listening to it like never before. And there's a lot of versions of it. I'm looking at, hang on here. I see 12 versions just in this view, 15, 18. I see 21 different versions just in this view on iTunes. And the thing is that there's more. There's a see all link. So there's tons and tons of them out there to choose from. All these different versions. And it's making money. People are buying it like mad. And some have decided to just say, oh, forget that. Forget that jazz. For example, a Kentucky radio station has made its opinion on this song known. Over the weekend, they played the song for 2 solid hours in a marathon repeat. They played it over and over and over again on Sunday for 2 solid hours. Now, other radio stations reevaluated the song after a station called WDOK. They call themselves Christmas 102.1. They took it off the air. But this station in Kentucky, WAKY, they're in Elizabethtown, Kentucky. They didn't even briefly consider pulling it. They just decided to embrace it. And some of the original version, which was written by Frank Lesser, and some of the other versions that followed. And the director of programming there, the program director, Joe Friedel, or Friedel, said, I'm not sure why it's controversial. We've played this song for years, you know. This song's older than WAKY. It's almost 70 years old. Kentuckians were able to listen to Baby It's Cold Outside from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Sunday. They played 5 different versions of the tune. They said on Twitter, we love this song. Tomorrow morning, beginning at 8, WAKY will play Baby It's Cold Outside continuously until 10 a.m. So give us a listen. And the TV station WLKY, TV 32, will have a report about it during their 11 p.m. newscast tonight. The station also promoted the marathon on their Facebook page over the weekend. Dozens of people commented on the post. A lot of them were thanking the station for taking a stand, saying, whoever said there's something wrong with this song seriously had nothing better to do with their time. Another one said, way to go. Thank you for standing up for the rest of us. Another said, thank you for playing this song. I listen every morning on my way to work. Love the national anthem you play at 6 a.m. Proud retired Army vet. The PD said he was proud to play the song and thankful for the positive responses. He said, it's just a fun way of saying, hey, this is our vote for that song. It's a fun song. It's a romantic song. Don't pick on it. He confirmed he's also a supporter of the Me Too movement, but he doesn't think this song should be considered problematic. He said, this song's not about that. All it is it's a dialogue between a man and a woman. At the end of the song, you hear them harmonize together. So they're agreeing, basically. This is what I said yesterday. But 102.1, Christmas 102.1, WDOK, the host Desiree, there said there have been many valid points raised about the song. Really? 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 You know, they just have to find things wrong with everything, and that's horrible. How do you live like that? How can you go through life being angry about everything in life? How can you go through life being upset about everything? There are positive ways to do things, positive solutions to problems. But no, punishment is the answer for these people. Well, there's another group of people who are ticked off, people who are angry, people who are upset, people who have decided that they're deeply, deeply, deeply offended by President Donald Trump. Yep. President Trump has offended a group by calling the Mueller probe a witch hunt. That group is practitioners of witchcraft. They're fuming over President Trump's repeated use of the phrase witch hunt to describe special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation into Russian meddling with the 2016 presidential election. Kitty Randall, she's a witch, says to have him compare his situation to the worst period in our history is just infuriating. If Mueller's investigation were truly a witch hunt, then Donald Trump would be hanging naked from chains in a cold barn somewhere being tortured into admitting his pact with Satan before being burned at the stake. Instead, he's golfing at Mar-a-Lago. Trump has invoked the phrase more than 60 times on Twitter alone, much to the horror of actual witches, who tend to be lefties. The Daily Beast is explaining more about why the witches are so hexed about this. They say witches view the use of the phrase as more than just a pejorative rhetorical device, which is all it really is. It's just a pejorative rhetorical device. They place it rather in the larger context of the president demonizing and marginalizing minority groups, because of course they do. According to witches who spoke to the Daily Beast, most contemporary witches are feminists, of course they are, and support other marginalized groups, of course they do. Salisbury called Trump's witch hunt tweets disgraceful, especially because of Trump's attacks on immigrants and women. Let's clarify something here. Trump hasn't attacked immigrants or women. He has made statements, truthful statements, about what's happening in illegal immigration. And as far as women are concerned, he's had some personal exchanges with people who have been really nasty to him, and they've been public. But, oh, we have to be offended. Going forward with more of what Salisbury said, it's particularly horrifying because many modern practitioners of witchcraft devote their lives to seeking compassion and justice. Yeah, of course they do. The White House didn't respond to a request for comment. Faced with a barrage of witch hunt slurs, some witches have chosen to raise the stakes, resorting to spellcasting. A group of witches organized on the internet cast a monthly binding spell on Trump, while another group attempted to hex Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. Wow. But Trump doesn't need to be worried about a plague of toads showing up at the White House anytime soon. Randall said most witches have opted not to use magic against Trump. I don't think he's losing a lot of sleep over this. I know I wouldn't. Oh, my word. That's just nuts, y'all. I don't care what else you want to call it. That's just crazy. They're upset because he's referring to the Mueller probe as a witch hunt. Well, I'm offended because I'm a witch. Well, I think you have bigger issues. I really, really do. You have much, much larger issues. All right, let's go for three. That's two stories that are just from the absurdity of life. Here's one more. When two Arizona men couldn't find a same-sex Barbie set to gift a young family member in honor of their upcoming wedding, they decided to craft their own, and now the decision may change toy aisles forever. Matt Jacoby and Nick Caprio, who are set to be wed next year, recently discovered that Mattel, the company that produces the famous Barbie doll, only creates wedding-style Barbie and Ken doll sets, or in other words, toys that represent heterosexual unions. So they set out to rectify their problem. According to these guys who appeared on Good Morning America last week, they bought two Barbie wedding sets to acquire two Ken dolls. Then they combined the male dolls in a single package to represent a same-sex couple. The men later campaigned Mattel to begin manufacturing same-sex couples in their wedding sets. The reason, Caprio told KTRK-TV, that same-sex marriages are now just a fact of life. Quote, "It's going to come up in your family no matter what. As more same-sex couples are having kids." By the way, how is that possible? "As more same-sex couples are having kids, your kids are going to have kids in the class that have gay parents and things like that, too. So it's not a huge shock anymore." I'll tell you what's a huge shock is the thought of same-sex couples having kids. I mean, it does require two genders to have children, you know. And please stop. I know you're looking at me saying, they can adopt. Okay, I know. Just come on, play along and grasp reality for a moment. A company spokesman for Mattel says, they told Good Morning America, they reached out to the couple. They've been together for more than a decade. Oh, they've been together for more than a decade. Now they're deciding to get married. They want to schedule a meeting. And according to Bride.com, these guys will meet with the head of design for Barbie dolls, as well as Mattel's design and marketing teams. The couple says the meeting will either take place this week or during the first week of January. You know, I thought Barbie dolls were a problem for the left anyway. Don't the progressives want to have Barbie burned at the stake? I'm sorry, was that a witch reference? Don't they want to have Barbies eliminated from the whole world? They don't progressive hate Barbie? Don't they just hate this whole thing? But of course, what they're going to do is they're going to, in their twisted fashion, they're going to champion this. They're going to say, yeah, you should have these. This should happen. Yes, this should happen. Well, of course they are. It doesn't have to make sense. It's progressives. Come on. It does not have to make sense. If it made sense, it wouldn't be progressive, would it? No, it wouldn't. Oh, good grief. Hey, listen, I saw Toy Story 3. I know he likes clothes, so they may be right about it. I don't know. Oh, man. Up next, Trump derangement syndrome as it applies to a different Trump as the Daily Perspective continues.
Christmas.
Hey, I need to ask you a question I haven't asked yet. You know what's coming. Have you subscribed yet? Have you subscribed to on me. The Daily Perspective newsletter yet. Comes out every day, comes direct to your inbox, your email account. And what it includes, among other things, is the daily notes of the show. And you get everything. I mean, you get the stuff I don't get to talk about. You get, for example, there are stories in the stack today about, well, the real truth about illegal alien invasion. There's a watchdog group that's named a couple of Democratic senators as the top ethics violators of 2018. You'll get to know who those people are. There's a story about Bernie Sanders. There's a story. There's a story about a man in Missouri who I almost included in the ridiculous stories at the bottom of the hour, who, as part of his sentence for being a poacher, has to watch Bambi once a month. There's a whole lot of stuff that you don't get to hear about that I've got stacked up that just didn't make the cut for the show because of time limits. You get that as well as the direct links to all the stories that I refer to while I'm yammering for an hour here on the Daily Perspective. Plus, from time to time, as something strikes, I'll get a little spark and start typing, and the next thing you know, you've got something else coming to your inbox, an observation about life as we know it in our nation and in our world. And for what it's worth, some of it's pretty good. So, get signed up today. Go to the Mark and Mac Show or Daily Perspective Facebook pages, either one of them, or go to markandmac.com and or markcongleton.com and look for the sign-up forms. They're right there. On the Facebook pages, you just click the sign-up button and fill out the form, and before you know it, you're joining the ever-growing family that's getting the Daily Perspective newsletter. Well, we're all familiar with Trump derangement syndrome. That is where people who are just anti-Trump have divorced themselves from reality and embraced the lunacy that is hatred for Donald Trump, which is based on deception and lies. Well, now Melania Trump's spokeswoman has written an op-ed that came out yesterday, and she's slamming the media for focusing on trivial and superficial matters like the First Lady's marriage and her fashion choices, despite the fact that she continues working to benefit kids and military families. She's doing a lot of stuff that you don't hear about just because the deranged media would prefer to condemn her for things rather than to salute her for the work she does. Well, Stephanie Grisham, she's Mrs. Trump's deputy chief of staff for communications, took issue with an opinion piece by CNN contributor Kate Anderson Brower, who accused the First Lady of throwing herself a pity party for lamenting how she's covered by the media during an interview with Fox News' Sean Hannity last week. Quote, "This condescending opinion, apparently written in response to a single answer Mrs. Trump gave in a Fox News interview Wednesday, was published just hours after the First Lady traveled to Children's National Hospital in Washington to read a Christmas story, visit sick children, and thank the hardworking hospital staff." That's what Ms. Grisham writes in the op-ed for CNN. She goes on to say, "For Brower to claim that Mrs. Trump's interview was a lost opportunity to put attention on families of struggling Americans she's met in her role as First Lady is to willfully ignore everything she has actually done to help and support children and families across the globe as a commitment to service she has consistently demonstrated over the past 2 years." Mrs. Grisham went on to list a number of Mrs. Trump's charitable activities that many in the media have chosen to ignore. She also slammed news personalities for mocking the First Lady's Be Best campaign because of their distaste for her husband, saying, "Of course, absurdity abounds in the media's coverage of our First Lady. Reports focus on the trivial and superficial rather than the deeper issues facing our country that she has tirelessly worked to address. Last year, when Mrs. Trump traveled to Texas to comfort and support the people affected by hurricanes, the media focused on the pair of heels she wore to board Air Force One. When Mrs. Trump invited children from a local Boys and Girls Club to help plant vegetables in the White House garden, the media chose to focus on the cost of her shirt and the fact that her shoes were clean. When she partnered with the U.S. Agency for International Development and traveled to Africa for a four-country goodwill tour that focused on children's health and education, conservation efforts, and social and cultural issues affecting each region, what did the media focus on? Her clothes. Mrs. Grisham says the media has the opportunity to report fairly and celebrate the First Lady's strength, individuality, and integrity in the era of female empowerment. Hopefully, the media will eventually learn to celebrate a woman who, though through all the noise, is able to hold steadfast to her mission and stay true to herself. And she's absolutely right. Melania Trump speaks multiple languages. She is highly educated. She's not an idiot. She's not a clothes horse. She's not somebody who just, you know, who's a fashion nut. She is a sophisticated woman who knows what she's doing and knows what she's talking about. And she should be highly respected. But we can't expect the progressive press to look at things that way. Because the progressive press is perpetually offended by Donald Trump and anything and everything his life touches. And because of their hatred, remember, hatred rises from the left. Because of their hatred for Donald Trump, nothing associated with him will ever be fairly treated. Melania Trump could actually discover the cure for cancer. And the progressive press would encourage people just to go ahead and die rather than take it. That's how demented the progressive press actually is. And that's a very, very sad thing. A very, very sad state of affairs. And this is just one more reason I encourage you to stop watching the news. To ignore CNN, to ignore MSNBC. The alphabet news networks are not interested in telling you the whole story. There is an agenda, and that agenda is a progressive agenda. And if you do a little bit of studying about progressivism in the United States of America, you'll find that progressivism itself is a cancer that's been slowly eating our nation away. And our education system has been teaching progressivism to students. And now so many of those students who have learned progressivism at the feet of other progressives are now in the news media, they're in politics, and some of them are in business. And that's one thing that astounds me, is that people like Bill Gates and the like, who owe everything they have to capitalism, embrace progressivism and condemn capitalism, even though capitalism is what made them what they are and given them everything they have. It's just astounding to me. But that's where we are today in America, and why it is so incredibly important for you and I to reach beyond what is being spoon-fed to everyone on the evening news and to find out what's really going on. You have to be aware that also on the conservative side, on the right, there are people who operate on the fringe, and they are motivated by anger. They are motivated by hatred as well. There are some very intolerant people on both ends of the spectrum. So you have to be aware of that and be wise where you get your news from. But if you're honest, if you just apply the life lessons you've learned honestly to what you're looking at in the news, you'll begin to get a good sense for what's real and what isn't real. And I encourage you to do that today. To look beyond what you're being spoon-fed and find out what's really going on. You won't be happy with it, but you'll be able to get some direction from it and hopefully make life better for yourself, your family, and those around you. That's it for today. Let's meet back here tomorrow morning. This was fun. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow on The Daily Perspective.